Cape Talk.
DIY.
It's a general DIY question. I always expect that grunt to come out of the mouth of Angelo D'Ambrosio of IPMT Remedial Building Consultants. Welcome back to the show.
Thank you.
As I mentioned, general segment today, which means you're welcome to phone in on absolutely any DIY challenge. Remember, the number to dial is 021-446-0567. You can leave us a voice note question on 072-567-1567 or send us an SMS to 31567. And we're going to start today with an email that came in from Chris in Takai, which I'm hoping either Angelo or one of the other listeners will be able to answer. This is his quandary. He says, I have called every sawmill I can without finding assistance. This is the situation. Chris has got four 200 millimeter diameter pine logs, each of them about 2 meters long. And he says, I don't want to waste that lovely timber by burning it on a fire. I want to get them cut into nice thick boards to make some nice natural shelves and other furniture. But I'm struggling to find anyone with a bandsaw capable and willing to do it for me. Do you know of a company or individual that I could contact?
I know sawmills do have the equipment, but, you know, they generally do large bulk items. This would have to be someone. You know what you could do? You could speak to someone like, I have a contact by the name of Neville, who works in the furniture industry and has these things cut generally. Mm-hmm. And Neville might be able to help you. Otherwise, there is another contact, my famous friend, Yanni. Remember Yanni?
Yes.
Yeah, well, Yanni's in the woodwork industry as well. So Yanni will definitely be able to help us. So I can respond. I'll get that information and respond.
Okay, just for the sake of those listening who are also going, oh, I would like to know who those people are if I want to follow up with my wood. Neville, you said Yanni's in woodwork. Neville's in the furniture industry.
Yeah, correct.
Can you mention their business names for us?
Yanni is Ode. Ode, they do floating shelves and floating TV cabinets, etc. And Neville, now Neville's going to kill me because I can't remember the name.
Okay, Neville, if you're listening, send us an SMS and put Angelo out of his misery. But Chris, we will send you an email directly with those contacts after the show today. I love the idea implicit in that question that we don't just discard.
Correct.
We see the inner beauty and what the potential in something that others might throw away.
You know what I've been doing? I've discovered Pinterest.
Yes.
And if you
welcome
go
into the 21st century, Angelo.
And if you go into the woodwork section, the stuff that people do with leftover everything is just amazing. So go and have a look at it. And I'm telling you, you will find something to do with that wood.
Okay. Great suggestion. So Pinterest has a woodwork section.
Yeah.
Who knew? Okay. Angelo, Angelo will give me those details to email to you after the show today. So I hope we're able to connect you with someone who can help. If anyone else listening has a suggestion, if you are that person and say, well, I can do that for Chris, either give us a call or send me an SMS. Somebody has already sent us a WhatsApp saying, contact me for those logs. Thank you so much. We'll pass those details along to Chris as well. Right. An SMS in from Anonymous. Love this one. I don't know if there is a solution to this problem, but if there is, it's one that's needed by everyone. How do you plump up the carpeting after you've moved the furniture around? We've all had that. The couch that's been sitting in one place for years, you decide to rearrange the furniture to zhuzh up the room a bit because it's cheaper than buying new, and it's left a dent in the carpet. Is there anything that can be done to resuscitate it?
Generally, a lot of them come back over time because they just sort of, you know,
once the pressure's removed.
And they sort of almost like re-oxygenate themselves, if you want to call it that, and they come back to life. But I have seen people especially with the longer hair type of carpets, use those old plastic combs. Remember those combs? And sort of just pick it up and buff it up like that a bit. I've never done it.
So doing it manually with an old hair comb.
Yeah.
I'm thinking of like a handy vac. Would applying a vacuum suction to it help at all?
I think the problem lies in that when the pressure's down, it compresses the base, and the brace needs to be picked up. But with a longer hair type of product, you can fluff up the hair more, which hides it more.
Okay. So either go for the plastic comb, Anonymous. Or, I don't know what else to say. Wait, and over time it should spring back. We've got a question that's come in as a voice note. Let's take a listen to that one.
Hi, Pippa. It's Andrew here. I'd just like to comment on flushing of toilets and stuff. We're collecting a lot of the grey water and even the black water, so from, like, the dishes and stuff like that. And as that's, you know, quite dirty, I'm not putting it into the top of the cistern. So I'm sort of bucket flushing. But I think what I've noticed is that on average, toilet systems are about 6 to possibly 9 liters, depending on how old the toilet is. But it seems like you use way more water, way more grey water to actually flush the toilet because the pouring it into the bowl seems to be really inefficient. So yeah, that's something I want to do. To sort of throw out there and see if the listeners have gotten creative around that at all.
Andrew, thank you so much for that voice note, because it's going to give me an opportunity to have Angela settle a bit of an argument that's going on in our family, in fact. So one member of the family insists the water must be poured directly into the bowl of the toilet. We've been removing the lid of the cistern and pouring it into the cistern itself. That's working well for us. It obviously saves water, because, Andrew, you're right. If you're doing it the way of pouring into the bowl, it's much less efficient. Are we potentially damaging our cistern, though?
Okay, so I disagree with that. And I'll tell you why. Well, what I've noticed is if you take the bucket and you pour it and you sort of lay the bucket on the shell of the, or on the porcelain bowl and sort of pour, there's not enough pressure that is released. So what I've done, and I picked this up, and he's absolutely right. You use a lot more water. So what I've done is I lift it up slightly so that there's almost more gravity. And it actually works better. And I find that I use less water now of the grey water than I do, because it creates more pressure. So it pushes it down quicker. He's absolutely right. And I was looking at it the other day, and I was thinking to myself, I'm using a 15 litre bucket every time a grey water bucket every time I flush. So how can I make it better? And I tried that, and it actually works. I don't put into my cistern.
Why not? Is it potentially damaging?
Listen, you're dealing with soapy water, etc. You've got a lot of moving parts in the cistern. Okay, I'm talking about the side flush. Okay, so eventually that can become quite scummy. So whether it has a long term effect, probably will have a long term effect. But I'm talking about in time to come.
Yeah.
So either or, really, but I prefer the bucket system.
Just love the simple practicality of letting gravity help you. So you simply pour from much higher up.
Correct.
And hope that you've got good aim and steady hands.
Well, what I do is I put it onto the porcelain bowl, and then as I start to pour, I slowly lift. You know, like the Moroccans pour the tea?
Yes.
Like that.
Okay. Creative man he is. In fact, Felicity's on the line from Meadow Ridge wanting to talk about grey water flushing solutions. Let's go to that call. Felicity, good afternoon.
Hi, thanks for taking the call.
Sure.
I also flush my loo with grey water using a bucket, not through the cistern.
Okay.
And I too have found that you need to have a trick to flush. So what I do is, from a height, I lift the seating section up, and then from a height, I sort of plonk the water in, but you've got to do it at the back of the toilet, not the curved section in the front of the loo, but the straighter section at the back. If you pour it in there from a reasonable height, not too high, it flushes.
That makes sense, Felicity, because that's where the water goes in normally.
Yes, I think it's because most of the water comes out of the cistern in that area, not from the front of the loo.
Felicity in Meadow Ridge, thank you. Adding to the solution. So one, pick up the bucket to a greater height. Right. Two, direct that water to the back of the loo and not the front.
I think most people do, if you think about it, because when you're pouring, even if you're leaning on it's naturally running to that side.
Okay. We've got one more person on the line about flushing with grey water, so I'll take that call before we go to our break. David in Nurtuk, good afternoon.
Hi. My experience is actually exactly the opposite. I pour it into the loo. I find if I pour it straight down where the hole is, then I use a lot more water and it's not as effective. But if I create a vortex effect by pouring it into that shallow part, it creates a spiral and it goes down very much more quickly.
Okay, so if you put a bit of a whisk in the wrist as you're pouring to help create the vortex.
No, not in the wrist. It's where you pour it.
So yes.
It depends upon the shape of your loo. You've got to find the sweet spot.
You know, we have to keep a sense of humor about these things, but I love the conversation we're having about finding the sweet spot in the loo. David, I mean, thank you for the tip, David, in Noordhoek. You have to smile. I love Cape Talk listeners. They are creative. There will always be a solution. So, again, I'm thinking of, it depends on the shape of the bowl you've got. I can't picture a shallow pot in ours particularly.
Well, I think he's talking about the curved section that comes sort of so at the front of the loo. If you're sitting on the loo, that would be sort of at your knee side. Yeah. I am actually now going to do a test this has got to be, we got to solve this issue.
I want to send a videographer home with Angela to tape this one and give you some feedback next week. Marsha in Kenilworth, we'll come to you right after this. Please just don't go anywhere.
Pippa Hudson on Cape Talk. Call Pippa on 021-446-0567.
We're talking the physics of grey water flushing and the ideal optimum technique for using the least water. We've also, though, had a response to the question about the little dents left in the carpet when you have had furniture standing there for a long time. Marsha in Kenilworth, thank you for holding and good afternoon.
Good afternoon. I'm still chuckling with all the techniques.
Well, I'm glad we made your way to the music.
I'm visualizing so many people practicing this way, that way. we go back to the carpets. I get a little spritzer bottle. And mm-hmm. spray the when I've moved the furniture, I spray that pot that's down, and then I just gently with a little brush, scrubbing brush, just brush it and sort of like lift it up and almost refresh it up. It doesn't always work 100%, but it looks much better.
Okay, so a spritz bottle, and do you sort of saturate it completely or just dampen it?
No, just damp it to almost like wet it so that it gets a little bit of life, like you would water your little plants to get life back in it again.
Marsha, thank you so much for the tip.
Thank you.
Marsha and Kenilworth, thank you. And several people SMSing to say apparently an ice cube works. Place an ice cube on the areas that have been damaged by the furniture and it will plump up. We've had that suggestion from about four different people now.
Okay, well, here's how I think that works. I was looking at furniture that gets damaged and how you know when you drop something sharp on wood and it dents, mm-hmm. how to get that. Well, there is a way to get it out. You put some water in, water over that little spot, and then you put a rag over it and then you iron. And as you're ironing with on its the heat, the wood actually absorbs the dent into the dented area and lifts it up. So I think the ice might have the same effect. As the water is sort of slowly penetrating in, it's sort of filling up, if you wanna call it the terminology, but mm-hmm. you know, it slowly sort of fills up and gets back to its original size.
Fantastic,
it sounds logical.
Might be the same principle, yeah. Marsha, thank you. And 4, 5, 6 now saying definitely use the ice cube. So please, thank you so much for that. We'll give that one a try. Lovely message from Carolyn in Somerset West saying, you said you love Cape Talk listeners. Well, we love you, beloved radio station and presenters. You are the best, most informative companion, and it's a joy listening to the water solutions versus the problems. Carolyn, I don't usually read out that kind of message, but thank you so much. It's our pleasure. We love doing it. Thank you very much for your SMS. We're happy to help. And again, if anyone has other water saving tips that you haven't heard reflected on this station, we do feel some days a little bit like a stuck record because we're going over and over and over again. But if there's something that you do that you haven't heard spoken about on Cape Talk, please tell us what it is. An SMS saying, here I am having my lunch. Only my lunch is not hitting the sweet spot with all the toilet talk. Very tongue-in-cheek. Thanks so much, Hannah, and enjoy the rest of your lunch. I hope we haven't put you off. We're going to move away from toilet bowls and onto glass windows. Jill in Hart Bay, good afternoon.
Hello, Pippa. Hi.
Hi, Jill.
We've got some reflective film on our big plate glass sliding windows in the front of the house. It mm-hmm. was partly to obscure us from the road and also to deflect the sun. It's old now and it's bubbled in a couple of places, but I don't know how to get it off.
Angela definitely has the answer. He's twitching in his chair. What is
shaking.
Angela?
A hairdryer.
Oi.
Yes. That what you do is you take a hairdryer and you put it on and then you wave it over this area and it loosens it. Well, especially if it's old because it's a film that's sort of plucked on, if you want to stuck on.
Yes,
and then what it does is it loosens it and you can peel it off and then you clean your glass.
Good Lord. I was expecting all sorts of thinners and mess on the carpet and water, which I don't want to use.
We try to make your life as easy as possible.
And you just have done so. Thank you.
Jill in Hart Bay, thank you so much. I believe we've got a voice note on the toilet bowl issue. Let's take a listen.
Hi, Papa. Just with regards to the grey water flushing, if you are going to pour it into the system, just remember that ideally you don't want that water sitting for longer than 24 to a maximum of 48 hours. So if you are leaving your house for a weekend away, make sure you do empty that system out if you have poured grey water in. Thanks. This is Jason Mingo. Cheers.
And I believe Jason is from the City Water Department. So, Jason, thank you very much for the advice.
Well, it starts to stink, right?
Yes, of course. It shouldn't be sitting and all that scum would coagulate and nasties creep in. That is a good add-on to the conversation, Jason. Thank you for the advice. Yeah, certainly ours doesn't sit there longer than a couple of hours at the very most. No. So, in a busy house, that will be the case. Right. Okay. There are quite a few people with repair-type questions. One is from somebody who has a broken mahogany dining room chair. Oh dear, oh dear. There is a piece that broke when the furniture was delivered from Johannesburg. What is the best way to fix a broken mahogany dining room chair?
Well, I don't know where it's broken.
If it's a piece that's splintered off, is it
is it at one of the joints? Is it simply a piece of wood? Is it a crack? It's very difficult to answer that one without. But I'll tell you what, send a pic and I will. We'll make a plan.
Okay. Send us a photo, pippah at capetalk.co.za. I'll pass it on to Angelo and see if he can give you any advice. Another person has a ceramic art bowl which has the leg broken off. How do I stick it back on? It was made by an artist. They're obviously very fond of it and would like to repair it rather than toss it.
Okay. So ceramic. So strangely enough, I was reading up about tile, ceramic tiles, and sticking, putting new tiles onto ceramic tiles. So now you're just putting it together. There is actually a way to do ceramic onto ceramic that it bonds very well. So you would make a cement slurry with a latex in. Okay. And then you use a very specific fast drying ceramic tile adhesive. You put it on and then you should be able to stick it together. So that would be ceramic with ceramic. That's how we would do tiles onto tiles.
So ceramic tile adhesive is
correct.
What she's looking for.
And the rapid drying one.
Okay, thank you very much for that. Right, Claudia, thank you for your SMS. We actually have a solution for you. Claudia is wanting to help a primary school that's needing a fresh coat of paint, and we have identified someone who can help you, so we will be in touch. Claudia, thank you for the reminder on the SMS. That is where we must wrap up. Angelo, I have really enjoyed the conversation around the technique today, particularly. Thanks so much for being with us. We'll chat again soon.
Absolutely.
Angelo D'Ambrosio of IPMT Remedial Building Consultants.